The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a wonderful start to your work week. It's a beautiful day again in Texarkana, Texas. And lots going on over the weekend. We talked yesterday. I'm in a sermon series on Samuel. I'm calling it Leaving a Legacy. Samuel, the prophet, the priest, and the judge, the last judge of Israel. He made such an impact. He was known as the man of God. He was noted for his praying. In Jeremiah, the Lord is so upset with his people that he said, even if Moses or Samuel would be before me and interceding for the people, I wouldn't listen to them. He's a heavy, heavy hitter. Well, we talked about 1 Samuel chapter 8, and it has a lot of bearing for today, because in 1 Samuel chapter 8, the people want a king. And they ask for a king. Actually, they demand a king. And Samuel feels the tremendous sting of rejection because he's served them faithfully his whole life. But they say, hey, Samuel, you're old. Nobody likes to be called old. Even if you're old, you don't like to think of yourself as old. I love that Satchel Paige quote where he says, how old would you be if you didn't know how old you were? And so sometimes we get this in our mind, well, I'm 65, 70, 75, or whatever it might be. I must be old because of that number. But how old would you be if you didn't know how old you were? You know, you and I can think young and vibrant and continue to push ourselves to do great things for the Lord. Well, they said, you're old. And hey, guess what? Your sons, they're not like you. They don't walk in your ways. They pervert justice. So we want a king. Give us a king so we can be like everyone else, so this king can fight our battles. And Samuel felt totally rejected by the people whom he loved, the people whom he served so faithfully for all those years. He was probably 65 or 70 when they said this to him. And so he goes before the Lord. And what does the Lord tell him? The Lord says, listen, Samuel, get perspective. They haven't rejected you. They've rejected me from being king over them. So listen to their voice, but tell them what it's going to be like if they have a king. And so he relays what the Lord says about having a king. And the king is going to take. He's going to take your sons. He's going to take your daughters. He's going to take the best of your fields and your vineyards. He's going to take a tenth of your seed in your vineyards. He'll take your male servants, your female servants. He'll take a tenth of your flocks. And then it says, you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day. And God was telling the people, listen, you need to take the long look at this request. They find out in chapter 12 that it was tremendously wicked what they did in asking for a king, because God was their king. And so, but they wanted to be like everybody else. And the Lord was trying to help them see, listen, wisdom is taking the long look. And that's what I really want to focus on today, taking the long look at life. You know, you and I get ourselves into trouble when we take the short look at things. We want to have a shortcut to success. We want to have a shortcut to making money. We want to get rich quick. We want to satisfy our desires bam, just like that. And so we're tempted in the area of sexual immorality. And well, what does my flesh want to do? Well, your flesh is always wanting to satisfy itself. And the reality is you'll never be satisfied. The flesh can't be satisfied with sin. As Solomon said, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. When you seek out satisfaction under the sun, which is one of the key phrases in the book of Ecclesiastes, trying to find satisfaction, keeping God out, keeping heaven out, what do you find? It's empty. It's vain. You're never going to be satisfied. Who can eat? Who can have enjoyment without him? No one. And so we're tempted and we want to satisfy our desires right then. Well, they wanted to satisfy their desire for a king. And the Lord was saying, you're not going to like this. You're not looking at this from a wise perspective. The Bible says in Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Proverbs 17, verse 24 says, wisdom is in the presence of the one who has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. Now let's apply this this important principle, the problem of short-sightedness, the problem of not seeing, not taking the long look. Let's apply that to what's going on in our nation today. You know, big news, the government shutdown that began on October 1st is continuing. And here we are, day six. And how long is this going to go? Why is there a government shutdown? I asked Grok, who's to blame for the government shutdown? And Grok, in typical fashion, you can blame people over on the left and blame people on the right, but since Republicans are in power, it's really their fault. Well, I thought that was ridiculous, since the Republicans have given to the Democrats a clean bill, which basically says, let's just keep rocking along and give us some more time to negotiate this, but we'll just extend the current budget so that we don't have this shutdown. Well, the Democrats said, no, we're not doing this. And so that's created an impasse. And they want to add $1.5 trillion to the current budget over a 10-year period of time, $150 billion per year, not remembering or not caring that the nation is $37 trillion in debt. When you're $37 trillion in debt, it is very foolish to add another $1.5 trillion to the debt. And one of my favorite guys to listen to is John Kennedy from Louisiana, and he's the senator that has these funny little sayings and just the sound of his voice, and he's great. So he puts things into perspective, and let's see where that is. That's not on my list. I thought it was on my list, but we don't have that one. I'll see if I can get that at the break. And he basically says, you know, this is what is going on, and this is how you need to understand it. So we'll come back to that. But the problem of short-sightedness, not seeing things clearly, making decisions that are not going to benefit you in the long run. So I shared a clip or a little testimony from Vodi Bakum yesterday that he was preaching. This is a number of years ago, and you could see the tears streaming down his face as he talked about at the end of his life, he wants to be able to look at his wife and say, you know, I was faithful to you for our entire marriage. He wants to be able to know that he has successfully passed the baton of faith on to his children, and to see his children make an impact for the Lord that's even greater than the impact he makes. And it's just so heartfelt. Well, that's a guy that's taking the long look at life. Are you taking the long look, or are you taking the short look? Well, if you add 1.5 trillion to the debt, and you say we're going to shut down the government unless you do this, and we're going to hold you hostage unless you do this, you're not taking the long look. And what people don't realize, and Elon Musk was very astute in pointing this out, and Donald Trump understands this, you can't keep borrowing money. You can't keep going into the hole deeper and deeper and deeper before eventually you're totally bankrupt and broke and you can't function anymore. You know, you just as an individual, if you keep charging up your credit cards, you max out your credit cards, and then you can't afford the interest on your credit cards. And then people quit loaning you money. And, you know, you've seen the sad reality of people at a restaurant, you know, here, put it on this card. Well, this card is maxed out. It won't accept it. Well, try another card. Yeah, you're maxed out there. It won't accept it. Try this third card. No, none of it will work because it's all maxed out. And then what do you have? You have disaster. So what do you do if you are struggling with short-sightedness? You pray Psalm 90, verse 12. Lord, teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Help us, Lord, to see life from your perspective. Now, we have lots of violence taking place in our world today in the aftermath of Charlie Kirk and his assassination. Things have really come to the forefront that there is a tremendous divide like never before because it's ratcheted up with violence. I saw a clip with Josh Trevino, who is the head of America First Policy Institute. He was on a television news program, and he was talking about here's the real situation with the violence that's taking place in America.
When did this idea of polite discourse, the idea that you could agree to disagree and walk away from somebody and shake hands and not have that as a reflection of the person, happen?
I believe it died on the afternoon of September 10th when they shot the guy who made a career out of doing that in the throat and killed him in front of his children.
But I think it was before. This has been going on much longer than Charlie Kirk's.
Let's
murder.
Be really clear, though, and I really have to push back against this both sides argument. I mean, there's heated rhetoric from every side, and you know, there's rhetoric from this corner and that corner. But there's violence overwhelmingly from one side, and it is from the left. And we can go chapter and verse as to why that is and what those episodes are. But there's only one side that has to worry about security, really. When you hold a campus event, leftist groups don't have to worry about security. Conservative groups do. Businesses boarded up in November 2020, not because they were worried about the right's reaction to the election. They were worried about the left's. You go on and on and on. Attempts to kill presidents, attempts to kill Supreme Court justices, attempts to kill congressmen. This is the left's record. Charlie Kirk dying in front of an audience is the culmination of a lot of self-talked violence on the left, and we cannot miss that for all the rhetoric. The Miss Havisham of American politics, which is what Hillary Clinton is, she loves to talk about the rhetoric because she cannot talk about the empirical facts, which is that it is one side inflicting violence and not the other.
That's undeniable, and wisdom says you see the situation, you say, obviously, we have a huge divide. One side of the aisle is violent, and the other side is not. So Charlie Kirk gets assassinated. There are no violent outbursts. There are no riots. There are no protests where businesses are being destroyed. There's just none of that. And this idea that, well, it's both sides, you know, you just have as much on the right as you do on the left. It's just not true. And when you're honest about things and you're fair-minded, you say, okay, there are issues at stake here, and there are people that are unhinged, and there are real folks that are getting hurt, and some, in the case of Charlie Kirk, are getting killed, others are getting silenced. What do we see in Nigeria? We see not from the left, but from the radical Muslims. We see them killing Christians in Nigeria, burning churches, destroying. You know, Islam is its own brand of smash mouth religion, you believe or die. Christianity has nothing in common with that. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the problem of short-sightedness, not seeing down the road, not viewing life with the eyes of wisdom and saying, what does this do in the long run, not just in the short term? We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the problem of short-sightedness, not seeing life from the long perspective. And really, we need to see life not just in this life, but what is after this life. Because you live, even if you live to be 100, it's a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. And so I love the illustration of the rope. And the rope, you have a long rope. I've used this a couple of times in sermons, this long, long rope that goes from the pulpit all the way out backstage. And people can, it just seems like it goes forever. And that is to illustrate eternity. And one part of the rope, just a little part, maybe 2 or 3 inches, is in red to show that's what your life is like. And then the rest is after your life here on this earth. And if you're focusing all your attention on this life and not living for the life to come and not investing your wealth in the life to come and not thinking of, well, what do I need to do to ensure that my eternity is secure? You know, your decision for Jesus Christ, the question of all questions, what then shall I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? What you do in this life concerning Jesus affects the rest of the rope. And the rope goes forever because life is forever after death. It's eternal life or eternal death. And eternal death is not annihilation. It is living forever and ever and ever in a terrible, horrible place called hell. Well, Jesus doesn't want that for anyone. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he came and he died on the cross for our sins, rose again from the dead. And he wants people to trust him so that they would have eternal life and live forever with him in glory. And people that, you know, say, well, if God is a good God and a perfect God, why is there so much sin in the world? And why is the world in such a mess? Well, the world is in a mess because we made it a mess. Man sinned against God. But you read the last 2 chapters of Revelation and you see what it's going to be one day, a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Well, we couldn't get a good quality audio on that and that clip I wanted to play from John Kennedy. So let me just read what he said, because it's very insightful, and I think it puts things in perspective concerning the government shutdown. He said, the country was just rocking along, minding its own business, and our budget expired midnight Tuesday night. That's October, the end of September, October 1. So the Republicans went to the Democrats and said, look, let's just extend the current budget for 7 more weeks while we negotiate a new one. And to our surprise, the Democrats said, no, we will not vote to do that. In fact, we will shut down the government unless you agree to give us $1.5 trillion and we'll tell you how to spend it. Well, I mean, you know, our heads snap back. Look, I wasn't about to vote for that. My mother didn't raise a fool. Well, if she did, it was one of my brothers. And every Republican felt the same way. So we said no, and that's why we're in a shutdown. Now, Senator Schumer was getting a lot of the blame. And Lord knows he deserves it, because he instructed all of the Senate Democrats to vote to shut down the government. But he's not really calling the shots. The group calling the shots is the socialist wing, the lone wing of the Democrat Party, because they're in control. And the head of the socialist wing of the Democrat Party is Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez. She's really calling these shots. In fact, fact, Senator Schumer is trying to ingratiate himself to the socialist wing of his party and to the congresswoman. And I have to tell you, I don't hate anybody. I don't mean any disrespect. But based on her, her policies and beliefs, Congresswoman AOC is single-handedly trying to put an end to dumb blonde jokes. I mean, based on her policies, $1.5 trillion, she must be bilingual. She's speaking English and stupid. There's no way we'll go along with this, and that's why we're in a shutdown. Well, those were the words of Senator John Kennedy, and I think he puts it in a way that all of us can understand. And as I said, when you're way in debt, you don't take on another $1.5 trillion worth of debt. That's just stupid. And if you want to negotiate in good faith, well, you continue with the program you had have had going for all these months and say, let's keep it going for another 6-7 weeks while we negotiate. You don't just shut the thing down. Now, even some of the legacy media, the media groups that are really in the tank for the Democrats, even they're calling out the Democrats saying, wait a minute, you guys said before that you weren't for this and now you're doing it.
Let me ask you, because you say this is a Republican shutdown, but it's Democratic senators who are withholding their votes on what is called a clean resolution. That means no strings attached, which is something, quite frankly, Leader, that you and other Democrats have advocated for in the past. Take a look.
You do not use the threat of shutting down government to try to advance your
That's
policy agenda.
First thing that the House has to do is
That's
pass
Harry
a
Reid.
Clean 6-week CR.
A continuing resolution
That's
that is
Jeffries.
At the fiscal year 2023 levels is the only way forward.
So that's them saying just, you know, a few months ago, whatever it was, a couple of years ago, I can't remember the time stamp on it, but that's them saying you don't have a shutdown. You don't vote for a shutdown, but that's what they're voting for. That's what they're playing hardball and seeing where that takes us. And as a friend of mine who works in the government said, you know, the people that get hurt in all this are the hardworking government employees that see their jobs, their pay, you know, get suspended. And how long is this going to last? Who knows? One of them lasted over 30 days. Well, if you don't get back pay on that, just think about your own finances. If you go for 30 days and, hey, you don't get paid, that can really, really hurt. And so many people are not in a position to absorb a 30-day you know, suspension of pay. And so sad reality, because we need to have money saved up for a rainy day, and it's a rainy day for the government workers. But that is the world in which we live. And many people are just paycheck to paycheck, and we need to be praying, and we need to be praying for our government. You know, the divide is so intense and so severe. And I think one of the things that the Lord is doing, and I've said this on social media, He's making it very, very clear as to who is on the Lord's side. The demarcation between the conservatives and the liberal side couldn't be clearer. It's not a fuzzy line anymore. And as I've seen numerous videos from different ones just saying, you know, I was in the Democrat Party. I was all for this. I can't be for it anymore. And I saw one from a black guy just the other day, and he said, you know, I'm a Christian, and as a Christian, I can't support this stuff. And what I see people as they cheer Charlie Kirk's assassination, and they can't even respect the fact that a husband and a father was gunned down, peacefully expressing his views, gunned down, and people are cheering that. He said, I'm out. I'm not going to support that anymore. And so hopefully there are lots that are coming to this conclusion that, You can't support that position. You can't support the murder of the unborn. You can't support the transgender insanity. That is not loving people. Gender-affirming care is not care at all. It's gender mutilation. It's lying to people. It's destroying kids' lives. You know, if you want to destroy your life as a 25, 30, 40, 50-year-old that's gone off the rails, well, that's one thing. It's terrible, but that's one thing. But you want to destroy a little kid's life? I saw a video of a mother saying that her 18-month-old is transgender. A little girl thinking she's a little boy, and they're going to do all they can to help her, him, whatever. I don't know what pronouns they're using. I mean, it's a biological girl that wants to be a boy, and help this child of theirs become who they are supposed to be. Well, you don't have to be very smart to know you had a little girl. That's what God gave you. She's XX in her chromosomal makeup. She's 18 months old. She doesn't understand much of anything. And no doubt you've been filling her head and pushing her in that way. The little clip from Jordan Peterson, I played it, where he was talking about the Disney executive who said she had two children. One was transgender, I think 5 and 7. One's transgender and one's pansexual. And he said, well, the chances of that, to have a trans kid is like 1 in 3,000. And he said, to have a pansexual, whatever that is, he said, we didn't even know what that was up until a few years ago that somebody came up with that thing. He said, that's even greater odds. And to have two children in your family, that one's transgender and one's pansexual, it is astronomical. There are astronomical odds against that. And so he said, what is more plausible is you have a devouring mother. And you, as a devouring mother, are pushing your kids to this lunacy, and you're wrecking and ruining their lives because you are so deluded and so deceived. And professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. There are real consequences when you look at life and when you live out life with a short-sighted viewpoint, when you're not thinking and looking at the whole of life. It was Henry Blackaby who always said, you need to take the long look. And listen, as Christians, we want to be able at the end of our lives to say, Lord, I followed you. I didn't do it perfectly, but my heart was in the right place. I was moving in the right direction. As you've heard me say many times, I heard this from John MacArthur, and I just think it's such a great statement. God is not nearly as concerned about the perfection of your life as he is the direction of your life. And if you desire to walk with him, you are going to fall. We all slip and fall. And what is a righteous man falls 7 times and he rises again. You get up, you confess your sin to him, and you say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I want to walk with you. Lord, I want to walk in the light as you yourself are in the light. I want to do your will, not my will. And when we sin, and when we're tempted, when we lose our temper, when somebody hurts us and we fight with the resentment and the bitterness that can easily get in our hearts, when we deal with lust, when we deal with greed, when we deal with selfishness, and sometimes we do well and we choose rightly when those temptations come, and sometimes we don't. But what do? We confess our sins. We say, God, you're right. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Lord, I want to walk with you. You know, the old illustration was spiritual breathing. You know, when you breathe in physically, what do? You exhale the CO2, you breathe in the oxygen. And spiritual breathing is you confess your sin, you exhale, and you breathe in the control of the Holy Spirit. But I say walk by the Spirit, Paul said in Galatians 5:16, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. A year or so ago, I did a sermon series on Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 is one of the key chapters in the Bible, maybe one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. And it says that for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, as a believer in Jesus, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, guess what? He's not a believer. He does not belong to Him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you. It says, so then we are under obligation not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But here's the Christian life. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. That's how we live the Christian life. We say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. I want to put to death the deeds of the body. I want to say no to the flesh, yes to the Spirit. I want to take the long look at life. So in the end, I can hear you say to me, well done, my good and faithful servant. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, give me a call, and let's talk.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a preborn network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about preborn's life-saving work, call pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we are opening the phone lines for your calls, 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, love to hear from you. Let me just say this. So tonight, Dinesh D'Souza's latest documentary film, The Dragon's Prophecy, is going to be aired in selective theaters. It'll be on Monday night, October 6th, and then on October 8th, Wednesday night. And what is this movie about? The Dragon's Prophecy is a book about Islam, or a movie about Islam. It weaves together historical analysis, current events in the Middle East, biblical archaeology, and prophetic interpretations to explore the roots and the implications of the October 7th, 2023 Hamas attack on Israel, anti-Semitism, radical Islam, terrorism, and broader spiritual battles described in Scripture. Now, I saw an interview that Dinesh did with a Muslim, and interesting, they were talking about how Islam, although it doesn't fit with a leftist agenda, it will support a leftist agenda because it realizes that the right and conservatives are a threat to them. This is what was said in this interview.
I was an extremist, Islamist, fundamentalist. I would only vote left.
Why is that?
I saw them as very stupid. I would fear the conservatives because they come with principle. That's not someone they can brainwash. But the left, I know they have no values and no principles to begin with. I dare you to find one Islamic extremist that votes for Donald Trump. Never do it. They'd give their vote to the leftist who wants to run around in pride parades. And Islamic extremists are against gays and homosexuals and transgenders, but they want the left to go and get busy with that. They want them, go speak about the climate, go speak about abortion, go kill yourselves, go do that. Ilhan Omar, she's fighting for abortion rights and all the other, my body, my choice, yes, go do that. But would she have an abortion? Never. Never. Would she kill a Muslim in her stomach? Never.
What is the fundamentalist and jihadi agenda for America?
The future of America has to be Muslim.
So that was a snippet of what you can expect to find in this brand new documentary from Dinesh D'Souza, The Dragon's Prophecy. And so I look forward to seeing that. And I like the way Dinesh, I like the way he presents things. Now, I may not agree with everything that he does, but he understands the importance of saving America, and his viewpoint would match up with mine in so many things. So with that said, let's go to Sherry in Oklahoma. Sherry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, good morning, and thank you for what you just talked about. That was what my question was regarding, and I appreciate your insight, and I also look forward to seeing what they have to say. So thank you very much for addressing you always address important issues, but including this one is one of your many important issues. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Sherry. So it's only going to be, in select theaters. It's today and Wednesday, but then it'll be coming out, and in right at the time of October 7th, 2023, when Hamas brutally attacked Israel, showed that, and this is constant. You know, when you see what happens with Islam, you see what they're doing in Nigeria. It's the religion of murder and torture and abominations and the worst kinds of things that you can imagine. What Hamas did on October 7th is just beyond comprehension. How can people be that evil and then celebrate that and video themselves doing that and not understand that they're totally overrun and overtaken by Satan. Satan, he comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and that's what that religion does. And there are many people that are caught up in that. You know, evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You have deceivers, and then you have the deceived. And as the statement says, it's so true, not all Muslims are terrorists, but all terrorists are Muslim. And that's just, the proof is in the pudding. We know that. And so we have to pray. And, the people that are being murdered by the Islamic terrorists, you look at these people and you say, hey, when their lives are on the line,
They don't deny Christ. They stand. They will die for Jesus, and easily they could just say, all right, I'll say whatever you want me to say. I'll say that there is only one God, his name is Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. I'll do that. But they don't. They stand up for Jesus, and they say, no, he's my Lord and Savior, and I'm willing to die for him. And so, you know, in America, we need to have Christians that are willing to die for the cause of Christ and for the kingdom of Christ, as Stephen died, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Old Testament believers, they were willing to give their lives because they were going to stay true to Yahweh God, and they weren't going to bow before Nebuchadnezzar's image. Boy, we need to have people like that today, Christians like that today, who will stand up and speak up even in the face of incarceration, even in the face of death. So thank you for that, Sherry. I appreciate the call. We have Charles on the line from Ohio. Charles, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Thank you. Hello, Pastor. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Blessed. Three comments. You made a statement that the Democrats are responsible for the federal government shutdown. And you're actually wrong there. I mean, the Democrats are responsible for the government shutdown. You're actually wrong. It's the Republicans. They're actually responsible for the shutdown of the government. Second comment. You spoke of the liberals being basically the aggressors, or if you will, the terrorists with regards to our country. Actually, you're wrong. It's conservative. It's the right. As a Black American, Black folks have constantly been under the boots of the conservative, even white evangelical believers, and that's been since we've been over here, and that we can go throughout the history before we became a country, even after we became a country, even to the day where we're still feeling the threat, the anger of conservatives. And even if you look at the people who are doing these mass murders, a lot of these folks are young white men who lean toward the right or heavily involved in right wing activity.
I don't see that at all. What's your proof of that, Charles?
Well, let me get my third comment out, then we can go back and forth on that one. The third comment is that you spoke earlier of looking at the long term instead of the short term, and mm-hmm. we're in agreement there, and I'll give you an example. I'm looking at the long term with regards to Trump. Trump is a thug. He's a racist. He's a dictator. Now, the Lord has moved me to pray for his salvation. Because I know if he comes to the Lord, he'll make that 180-degree turn. And that's what we're praying for. I'm asking the Lord to stop him. But first and foremost, I'm asking the Lord to bring him into an eternal relationship with him. Mm-hmm. And once that happens, that'll cover everything. And this man will have eternal relationship with God. Right now, he's separated. And if he dies in his sins, we both know that he's going to live eternally separated from the Lord. And we know the Lord doesn't want that. Mm-hmm. Even though I agree with everything that this guy has done, it's through Christ that I can see that he can change, just like Christ changed my heart, just like he changed your heart. So I'm looking at the long term with regards to Trump in that sense that the Lord wants him to come into an eternal relationship with him, and I'm praying that will happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I want to see that too. What would you expect him if he did come to faith in Christ? Then he'd be more like Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi in how he governed. How do you see that?
I see him governing fairly. Right now, this guy's not governing fairly. He's a thug. He's taking over our country. Even though you may not agree with that, we're right now when it's already in the dictatorship. He's taking away my freedoms.
How is your freedom taken away?
Okay, my freedom, free speech. Okay, we just saw what happened week before last with Jimmy Kimmel. we see how this guy is threatening, using Douglas tactics with regards to corporations that he's trying to bully, universities that he's bullying, telling these folks, you will pay me so much money, you will disavow yourself from things that I don't like. And if not, I'm going to bring
Jimmy Kimmel's back on the air.
You know why he's back on the air? It's not because of Trump. He's back on the air because folks realize that, hey, this guy's starting to take away our First Amendment, freedom of speech.
Yeah. Well, okay. I think, Charles, if you look at it, Christians were losing their freedom of speech during the Biden administration, and people were getting deplatformed during the Biden administration, and guys like Zuckerberg and others that had the big social media platforms, they said, we got pressure from the government. I don't see Trump doing any of that. Now, I'm with you, praying for Trump's soul. I don't think Trump, for whatever reason, I don't think he understands the gospel, that it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. I want him to understand that. But Trump is very open to Christians. He's open to hearing from Christians. He surrounds himself with Christians. He has his cabinet meetings begin with prayer and prayed by guys, the HUD secretary, that know the Lord. You can tell that guy knows the Lord. When he prays, he's not repeating some words. He's praying to his Father in heaven. Trump has people like that. The Charlie Kirk Memorial was an opportunity for the nation and the world to see Christians come together to praise the Lord and to worship him and to share the gospel as the gospel was clearly shared. So I don't see things from your perspective at all, Charles. You said that your freedoms are being infringed upon. I can't see that. You point to Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel, if President Trump's a dictator, why is Jimmy Kimmel back on the air? Dictators don't take orders from other people. And so obviously Trump didn't have a lot to do with that. That was a business decision and they brought him back on. He's not funny and he's losing money. And so how long they're going to go with that, I don't know. But I appreciate you listening to the program. I appreciate you calling in and expressing a different viewpoint. I wouldn't share that viewpoint with you, but I appreciate the fact that you called in and shared that. And I appreciate your respect in sharing that. So God bless you, brother. Well, we have time for one more call. Greg on the line from Kentucky. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Shreve. Thanks for taking my call. Just briefly, as an American of Hispanic descent, I don't believe Trump to be a racist. I don't perceive that, nor do I feel that in any way. Now, the reason I called was, I'm not sure if you heard or read the story about your friend Tom Askell being banned from a chapel in the Dallas airport. There was a public address announcement, as the article read, come to the chapel, I want to say, and maybe Terminal D. I could be wrong about the terminal, but he gets there, and it was full of Muslims with their prayer rugs out, and he was actually blocked from going into the chapel. I'm just curious to know if you've heard about that, if you've talked with him about that experience, and what your thoughts are.
No, I didn't know about that, Greg. I've been in communication with Tom since the death of Vody Bachum. I want him to come on and talk about that. You know, Vody was one of his best friends, and he said he's not really able to do that right yet, but he wants to do that. And so I'll definitely reach out to him to ask about that situation that you just mentioned in Dallas, in the Dallas airport. Listen, Islam is Islam is satanic, and that doesn't mean that everybody caught up in that is satanic, but you are barking up the wrong tree, and the God of Islam and the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not the same God. And so we need to stand up for the truth, and we need to call out the errors. So I appreciate the call, Greg. I appreciate you standing up to say, as any honest, I think, American would say President Trump is not a racist. He's proven that he's not a racist. He's for all Americans. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.